2 Corinthians chapter 8, from verse 16 to verse 24. Paul, continuing with his theme of generosity, how much he gets out of it, or rather, how much he puts into it. In this section, I think we see two things. One, we see the people involved, the sort of people involved. And the second thing we see here is the probity that the apostle calls for and demands in administering this money, this distribution of money to the saints in Judea. First of all, the people involved. God uses people. We are poor, miserable sinners in ourselves, nothing. But God calls his people, the elect out by grace, and he forms them into a people for his name. And God uses these poor mortals, failures in themselves, powerless, weak and nobodies, but he uses them for his glory. Look how Paul puts it. I thank God, he says, who puts into the heart of Titus the same concern I have for you. And then he expands on Titus. And then in verse 18, we are sending along with him the brother who is praised by all the churches for his service to the gospel. We don't know his name, but this brother is involved, and Paul's in it too. And then in verse 22, in addition, we are sending with them our brother who has often proved to us in many ways that he is zealous, and so on. Titus, these other brothers, Paul. We don't know two other names, so we can't say much about them, except what we learn here. And this is what I learn. These men are gifted, moved, empowered, stirred by God. I thank God who put into the heart of Titus the same concern I have for you. God working in these brothers. What is more, I see that Titus is a man who welcomed the apostolic appeal. Verse 17. He's also coming to you, says Paul, with much enthusiasm and on his own initiative. Verse 18. This other brother is praised by all the churches for his service to the gospel. Again, we read in verse 22. Our brother, who has often proved to us in many ways that he is zealous. Titus, he is an honor to Christ, and so on. So what do we learn about the people involved? Well, as I say, there's much we don't know. We don't know about their academic qualifications or lack of them. We don't know about their age or their natural abilities or their wealth or anything like that. But what we do know is that they are godly, spiritual men who by God's Spirit are motivated in the heart, moved to do things for God, to think of other saints, to serve Christ in the gospel, for the service of the gospel, we're told. And again, in verse 19, to honor the Lord. Verse 21, the Lord is mentioned again. These men, in verse 23, are an honor to Christ. So the picture is building up here. Here are these brothers. They have concern to please Christ, to honor Christ, to serve the other brothers, to do things. They're enthusiastic. They finish the work. They carry it out. They are moved in their heart. They have love. They have enthusiasm. They go on with it. They drive it through. And they start thinking about things, their own initiative. This is our great encouragement when we find such brothers and sisters too, who have this kind of spirit, this enthusiastic submission to the word of God, the apostolic appeal, and are devoted to Christ and want to serve him and honor him. This is what I mean by the people involved. I'm not really talking about the people. I'm talking about the grace of God in the people. This is the priesthood of all believers in action. This is what New Covenant ministry leads to. This is what the gospel is about. This is how men know that we are the disciples of Christ. They see this kind of practical spirituality in action. They don't understand it, but they prove themselves. Paul says it in verse 22, our brother who's often proved to us in many ways that he is zealous, and now even more so because of his great confidence in you. What a mutual picture here of the way the churches worked in those days. They had their faults. We've got ours. They had their doctrinal misunderstandings. We've got ours. But they had something of ecclesia life, something of spirituality that we desperately need to recover. Too often today, churches are made up of a few serious players and the rest are mere spectators or fringe members. It should not be. This is not New Covenant, New Testament church life at all. That's the people. What about the probity? Well, Paul is very concerned here to honour the Lord. He says in verse 19, to administer the gift, you see, in order to honour the Lord himself and to show our eagerness to help. We want to avoid any criticism of the way we administer this liberal gift. For we are taking pains to do what is right, not only in the eyes of the Lord, but also in the eyes of men. An honour to Christ. Therefore show these men the proof of your love and the reason for our pride in you, so that the churches can see it. The picture's building up here. Here are these men, enthusiastic, loving, spiritually minded. But Paul says, yes, but that's not enough. Let's get everything up on the table. Let's get everything clear and above board. Let us make sure there's no jiggery-pokery, no playing around, no pilfering, no misapplication of the funds. This is vital, my brothers and sisters. There's too much corruption in the churches of Christ. I expect it in the political parties. I expect it in the organizations of men and the societies for doing good, even the best charities. I expect pride and boasting and self-seeking. But in the Church of Jesus Christ, let's do everything serving the Lord Christ, keeping everything clear and clean and above board, without any hint or suggestion of accusation or criticism. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. This love and this probity going hand in hand together. Paul is laying out fine, lasting principles for the cause of God in our generation. The ecclesias, the churches, we need to get back to this kind of mutual love, respect, but sense of dignity and probity and honesty. Enthusiasm, yes, and mutual pulling together for the generous care and concern and the loving help we can give to other brothers and sisters, and all with an eye to the Lord Christ, an honour to Christ, serving the Lord in the eyes of the Lord to the honour of Christ. Let us praise God where we find such things, and praise such men too. It says here the church has praised him. They're glad to see such a man, and the churches are honour such men, and these men honour the churches too. It's such a mutual love and affection, such respect, such glory to God, and such benefit to the poor saints in Judea, and of course these saints here doing the work. May God give us such days again. May we get back to this kind of life, away from the institutional Christendom, which is so deadening, which is so far, far removed, though it has so much of the jargon of Christianity, is so far removed from the spirit of the New Covenant. This is New Covenant life in action. May we live to see it. May the world live to see it, to see Christ, not only in our preaching, not only in our books, in our discourses and so on, but in our lives. So let our lips and lives express the holy gospel we profess. I see it in action here. May it come out of the page of my Bible into my heart and into my life. And this day and every day, may I live for the glory of God in Jesus Christ. I hope, brother and sister, you will feel the same encouragement to please Christ today.